We have been hearing in recent weeks, in fact, much longer, of the pressure that doctors and nurses are facing and the strain on the health service in Northern Ireland. But what about the GPs working in the community? I have been speaking to Dr. Liam Farrell, a former GP who, as well as battling to help patients in Crossmaglen, where he worked, was also battling his own addiction to morphine. He's written a book about his own experiences, and he told me just how important his patients were to him.
I saw patients as more than patients.
Yeah.
Like, every patient is also a partner, a husband, a wife, a father, an uncle.
Yeah.
With their own hobbies, their own interests, their own passions.
It's the person behind the illness that's that real person with that life.
It was one of the themes of the book, which it was almost an unconscious theme, which my agent, Paul Feldstein, pointed out to me at the end. It was this unconscious theme running through the book. I mean, the first chapter is about my addiction, but the theme of the book is not only am I more than just an addict, I'm also a father and a husband and an uncle and a friend and have interests well outside. So very narrow labels don't help anyone.
You mentioned the book a few times there. Of course, writing has been a huge part of your life for many, many years. The book is called Are You the Effing Doctor? Why give it that title?
Well, one of the things, every medical writer is constrained significantly by confidentiality.
Yeah.
Which means we can't, not only can we not mention patients' names, but we also can't give circumstances which would be identifiable. Now, unfortunately, that takes away a vast reservoir of material that we could be writing about. But patient confidentiality has primacy in everything we write. Now, so almost nothing in the book is true because of that. But there is one story that is true, which is the title. One time I was very late for a call, and when I arrived, an angry relative said to me, Are you the effing doctor? And I had to explain that no, I was just the ordinary doctor. Because I didn't want any misunderstanding of the services I was due to provide.
Yes. I was reading some chapters from the book. Chapter 15 stood out to me, and these were tips for new doctors, what 30 years in practice can teach you. Are these real tips from you, or is there a few of them here? Never wear suede shoes. Drinking 3 litres of laxative before having a colonoscopy is an ordeal every doctor should endure before inflicting it on others. Some of these did really make me laugh. Was that the intention?
Well, some of them are due to make you laugh, and some of them are a bit cynical. I said, one of my columns, I had a direct brief from the publisher who pays the piper, calls the tune, to be cynical. So some of them are a bit extra cynical. But the most important one of all is the very last one. The most important message to young doctors is, above all, be kind. As we discussed earlier, sometimes there's very little treatment you can offer.
Yeah.
But when you see people in distress, the very first thing to do is always be kind.
You mentioned your own, well, part of your own struggles a few minutes ago, and that is your battle with addiction. Tell me more about that.
Well, I became addicted to morphine around 1998.
You say around 1998, and I read in the book that you couldn't really pinpoint the exact time when you first tried it.
Yeah. It. I mean, at the time, I was extraordinarily busy. These are not excuses. It's just background. I was working every second night in Crossmaglen. It was a very busy practice. Because it was rural, we, for example, we did our own casualty. We would look after our own dying patients. It was very, really very demanding, although I enjoyed that part of the work. I was also writing for 4 different journals at the time, including the British Medical Journal and the Lancet, which was very demanding. I was also, ironically, a postgraduate tutor in care of the dying. So I was going around lecturing to other doctors not to be afraid to give morphine when patients need it, and how the most skillful way to give it. So it is amazing that for such a pivotal and destructive moment of my life, I don't remember the exact time that I first crossed that Rubicon and said, I must try that and see what it's like. So, it, as I said, it was a terribly destructive time.
What is it like?
Well, it's something I'm almost uncomfortable talking about, but I'll just briefly say...
Are you worried that people might hear it and think, oh, we'll give that a try?
Yeah.
Well, let's maybe come at it from a different angle. What were you getting from it? You know, was it a release, an escape from a hectic life?
Well, perhaps there was a subconscious element to that, but it was just the feel-good experience of taking it. Now, I must say about addicted doctors, there's actually no, I think there's very little, it's not a tip-of-the-iceberg situation. There aren't thousands of addicted doctors running around there who haven't been detected yet. I think it, because it is such a serious illness, most doctors have to confront their addiction fairly quickly, and there is a lot of help out there when you look for it, and nearly all addicted doctors do achieve long-term recovery. I've been in recovery now for over 11 years, and I'm always grateful for that. Every day I wake up, and I really appreciate the fact that I haven't been clean for 11 years, and it does add an extra attitude of what we call an attitude of gratitude to my life.
Yeah,
I'm glad I got my life back. I'm glad I got my relationship with my family back. I'm glad I got my job back for as long as I did.
And how bad did it get for you? Did it stop you from doing your job?
Well, I did have to take a long break in 1998.
How long?
6 months. And then I was clean for about 10 years. I had a relapse in 2008 of much less severity, but still significant. And I retired then in 2010.
And how do you, once you've battled that demon for a while and you get clean, how do you fall back off the wagon?
Well, when the temptation suddenly arises and you're not ready for it and it takes you by surprise.
Yeah. And were you able, because of your role, were you able to access it much easier? Is that what kind of added to the addiction, the availability for you?
Yeah. There's one of the great, I mean, doctors are given this responsibility and authority over these incredibly powerful and useful drugs. And one of the miracles of being a doctor is being able to use morphine. You know, seeing somebody in front of you trapped within a cage of pain, and suddenly with one injection, being able to release them from that cage. Morphine's just such one of the most incredibly powerful.
And at the other end of the scale, then, at the other end, whenever when you're addicted and you're trying not to have it, you're trying to wean yourself off it, what does it do to your body then?
Well, there is what we call a drug withdrawal, which I experienced on a number of occasions. It's the first chapter in the book about using and about the withdrawal I had to go through. It is just a horrible, horrible time. And when if I could just digress, I was writing for many years columns for big organizations, and they had to be good. Otherwise, it was a very competitive field. So I would craft them very carefully over a couple of weeks before I would submit them. But I've never, ever written about my addiction until just one night, many years after I was clean, I sat down and wrote 4,000 words, just almost like a stream of consciousness about what the experience was like. And that's the first chapter in the book. And as my agent said afterwards, he wanted it at the first chapter because it lends a perspective to the rest of the book. that puts the rest of the book in context. There is a lot of humour in the rest of the book, but the humour can be seen as almost a cry for help and escape. As Woody Allen once said, you can't be afraid of something you've just ridiculed.
Yeah.
And the other point about being an addict is it made me a much better doctor, because it exposed my own frailty so starkly that suddenly I could understand frailty in other people. And I wouldn't suggest that every doctor has to go through that experience to learn how to empathy, but certainly it did make me a better doctor and a better person.
And were people ever, because I think sometimes our perception of doctors, we look at them as almost on a pedestal, were people ever critical of you and almost from the perspective that they thought you should have known better because of what you did for a living?
Well, I mean, obviously, as I said, I reneged upon one of the most important responsibilities of a doctor, but almost my patients were just wonderful. Their support all through my ordeal was humbling, and I'll always be grateful for that.
And what about family and friends?
My family and friends were also very, very kind. As one of my friends said to me, you can care for somebody but not care for their behaviour.
Yeah.
So they were always supportive. Something I mentioned in the book is about alcohol. I mean, giving up drugs is much easier than giving up alcohol, because drugs are slightly difficult to get for most people. But alcohol's in your face everywhere.
Yeah, and I guess if you struggle with it then and have an addiction, but as I read it, you know, when you were trying to, because you went off cold turkey, off the morphine, abdominal cramps and diarrhea, damp sheets, your body was burning, skin prickles, like 48 hours of hell, and then, you know, that's just the beginning of that journey.
Well, yeah, they say getting clean is easy, staying clean is difficult, but I find getting clean I'd be pretty tough thing. I'm fairly hardy. I've been ill before and I've just gone straight back to work immediately. But the experience of withdrawal just unmanned me completely. I couldn't, even the fear, having gone through it once, the fear of going through it again meant that, I mean, usually if, for example, when you're taking morphine, the effect should last about 4 to 6 hours. So essentially it should be that time before you start feeling withdrawal symptoms. But because of my fear of it, as soon as I had no access to the drug and I knew withdrawal was coming, I would start to feel the symptoms after an hour or two, because I was already anticipating the ordeal I was going to go through.
You're already anticipating that come down.
I must say that that chapter would have detailed my experience from 1998. Now, there are much better treatments for withdrawal now, so it doesn't have to be so unpleasant and difficult.
Dr. Liam Farrell, thank you very much for your time this morning. And Are You the Effing Doctor is out now, and you can get it on Amazon. Liam, thank you very much.